In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. God has many titles: Lord, King, Creator, Judge, the Almighty, Master, just to name a few. Most of them indicating God's sovereignty, His authority, His power, His creative action. If you were in ancient Israel and you were going to see the judge or the king, you would be terrified, intimidated to the point of great fear. When you arrived in his court and saw him seated on his throne, on his judgment seat, you'd bow down and use forms of address like Your Honor, Your Royal Imperial Majesty. But in Christ, we are given permission to use a new title and a much more personal and intimate form of address for God. In Christ, when we enter God's throne room, we're supposed to see Him as Father and use a new form of address, Abba, which literally is Papa or Dad. It's the familiar form of Father, Abba. Completely changes how we feel and understand our approach to our Lord and King and Master and Judge when we're not only invited, but directed to call Him Dad. When you approach the King, when you approach the Judge, and you are directed to call Him Dad, it changes everything. It changes everything. Now, how do we go from Royal Imperial Majesty to Dad, to Papa? Well, we do that by becoming God's children. Only sons and daughters get to call the Father Papa. By becoming His children, we're not just His creatures, not just His subjects, but His sons and daughters. And really, in reality, in general, there's two ways that someone is a son or a daughter of somebody else, right? We know what those two ways are. One is you're the actual offspring. You're the blood relation. And the second, of course, is adoption. And we know that through baptism, we are given the gift of adoption by God. God becomes our Father through baptism by adoption. In baptism, God adopts us to be His son or His daughter. But by heaping grace upon grace, Jesus Christ also makes it possible to be blood related, to literally be blood related to God Himself. Now today in the church, we remember, we celebrate, we commemorate the Last Supper, as it's popularly called, but more properly called the Mystical Supper, the Supper of Christ's mystery, the night on which our Lord was betrayed. And He took the bread and the wine and blessed them and made them holy. And He broke the bread and gave it to His disciples. And He took the cup and passed it to His disciples, having said, "This is My body, this is My blood." And that bread and that wine being His very body and blood, truly, really, His actual body and His actual blood. And the disciples partook of that. And then He tells them to do this in remembrance of Him. And throughout all generations in the church, everyone who partakes quite literally of that actual body and of that actual blood. And therefore, quite literally, we have the blood of God running through our arteries and veins. His body becomes part of our very cells. I mean, just on a physical level, you have actual cells in your body built with the sacred Eucharist. I mean, that's a physical fact. But so much more than that. What divinity touches is transformed. What divinity touches is healed. What divinity touches partakes of the divine nature itself. Through Holy Communion, we not only become one with Christ, we become actual blood offspring of God. And we mentioned the two ways: one is a son or daughter of somebody else. One is blood offspring and the other is adoption. Only in Christ, only in God, are we His sons and daughters by both avenues, by both. Christ brings both adoption and blood relation together. We are His adopted children through baptism, and we become his blood offspring through communion. And then two other things I just want to share briefly. One is that the communion for the sick, the reserved sacrament, is customarily and traditionally prepared at this liturgy. It can, of course, be prepared at any liturgy, but it is normative for the reserved sacrament to be prepared at the Holy Thursday liturgy. So for one thing, clergy communion will take a little bit longer, and actually maybe after liturgy I'll explain just the practical way of how that's done. But more to the point, it means that when those who are in hospitals or in nursing homes, or if they're too sick to leave their homes, when they receive communion, when the priest or the deacon brings them communion, they are anchored to this celebration of the Holy Eucharist, of Holy Thursday, celebrating that very first mystical supper when Christ took the bread and the wine and inaugurated it becoming his very body and blood. Those people are nourished by this very liturgy's commemoration of that very liturgy that we have enshrined in that icon in the center of the church. And the second thing is that if we are both adopted children of God and now blood offspring, it certainly gives a new and deeper meaning to the phrase church family. It's not just a metaphor, but it's a reality. We are both adopted brothers and sisters, and we are blood relatives. You and I and each other are blood relatives in the Eucharist, blood relatives in the body and blood of Christ. We have the same blood flowing through our veins, which is the blood of Christ himself. We are family in a way that is far deeper even than the family we are born into. When we approach the throne of God, in Jesus Christ, we go from addressing God as royal imperial majesty to Papa, to Dad, because in Christ we are both God's adopted sons and daughters through baptism, and we are his blood offspring through the Holy Eucharist. Amen.